Okay, so this is part two of the delegation segment, and today we're going to be covering the ins and outs of your delegation conversation and the process and the step to go through. What I would suggest, if you haven't heard the last episode yet, go through that episode. It'll give you a strong background on delegation, and that should prepare you for this episode. As I said, the step-by-step delegation formula.
Welcome to the Middle Management Podcast, sponsored by Aptitude Management, an Australian-based corporate training organisation. During this podcast, we discuss everything to do with leading and managing others, from new and seasoned supervisors, frontline management, to mid-level leadership. We've got you covered. Your host for today is Colin Dubb.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 8 of the Middle Management Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Colin Dubb. Today, we're going to be continuing delegation, and we're going to be going through the ins and outs of delegation. So a step-by-step formula on how to go from point A to point B all the way through to the end. So firstly, effective delegation is one of the most valuable skills that a manager can master. And I went through that in quite a lot of detail in the last episode. Delegation reduces a manager's workload, and ultimately what it does is it develops its employees. How does it do that? Well, delegation prepares employees who work for you and gives them the ability to handle more responsibility while simultaneously allowing them to advance their career opportunities within the organization, because it actually upskills them. It gives them the ability to learn and practice new skills while also allowing recognition for the work that they produce. The essence of management is getting work done through the efforts of others. That's management, to get work done through the efforts of others. Therefore, a manager can decide and must decide what they are responsible for directly. So those things they cannot delegate and empower others to do, these are the responsibilities that only the manager can take. However, also decide what responsibilities they can hand to their staff members. They still maintain the authority as a manager, but they have passed the responsibility onto their delegate, to somebody else. More so, they've empowered them to do these things. Delegating involves trusting someone else to do a task for which they will ultimately be held responsible, and then helping them and guiding them along for a successful outcome. So what I'm going to go through and what I'm going to give you is something that we teach in our workshops, and it's the five levels of delegation. You see, delegation does not have to be an all or nothing process. In fact, you should consider what level of delegation is appropriate for the task, the employee, and for the current situation. And I mentioned in the last podcast episode on delegation that part of your preparation is to determine who the employee is, what their skill level is, what you're trying to achieve, ultimately how much authority or how much flexibility and room you want to give them in taking on those tasks. So let's break down the model. As I said, there are five levels. So let's say that we want an employee, for example, to prepare a summary report of their work over the past year that will be submitted to the executive team. Let's have a look through this example how each level may look. So the first level of delegation is to have the employee perform the task exactly as instructed, with no independence. So this is level one. For example, we might give the employee a report template, the data, and similar reports, and then we will ask them to complete the report and submit it to a certain date. And that's it. Very basic, very black and white, very straightforward. The next stage, we may give the employee a bit more flexibility to use their own sort of initiative and intuition. And so the second level of delegation is to allow the employee to do some research if necessary, and then give options for the task. So you as the manager, you make the decision. However, the employee completes the task according to their own instructions. So in our example that I mentioned above, the employee might research different formats and then give you some different options. They may, also draft a list of items that they want to include in the report. And then you as the manager may outline the format and contents for them. However, they will complete the report and submitted by a certain date. So that is level two of the five levels of delegation. And so looking at level number three, It is a continuation of the last two levels with a bit more autonomy and a bit more flexibility. So for example, the third level of delegation is similar to the second, except that an employee makes a recommendation. So again, continuing with our report example, the employer would recommend a format, possibly prepare an outline, and you would still approve it and ask the employee to complete and submit the report. And then the fourth level of delegation, again, a continuation, is where independence really comes into play. So this is the level that you will use most often once a team member gets up to speed. With our report example, again, you would simply ask the employee to complete the report and then submit it by a certain date. And they may use existing procedures and templates, but the bulk of the decisions are up to them. And you would then review the report, approve it, and send it on to your executive team. So in essence, on level four, the employee has a lot of flexibility, they have a lot of trust, and they really are utilizing these skill sets and intuition to be able to bring a high level class of work. Then finally, with level five of delegation, this is the most autonomous. This gives the employee complete freedom. And with our report example, again, you would ask the employee to complete the report, submit it directly to the executive team. And you may ask the employee to send you a copy of the report, but you would not have an active role in any of the creation of it. And it's interesting when you look at these five levels, because we do go through how to actually have a delegation conversation and the step-by-steps and the planning and so forth. And we'll have a look at that in the next stage of this podcast, but it's important. And in a future episode, we're also going to talk about, when we get into leadership, what we call situational leadership. So yeah, stay tuned for future podcasts, because this will be a good one. And it really is about looking at your employees' style, that the best style, that they like to be managed, that they like to be led, how skillful they are, what are their long-term goals, trying to achieve for them, what are they trying to achieve, and then picking one of those five styles to best give them the opportunity to succeed. Okay, so let's break down a simple delegation formula. Again, we teach these in our workshops, and it's awesome because we get to do role plays and we get to do practice sessions and so forth. So they really are very insightful in helping managers, new managers, to get into the gist of delegating. But look, you can listen to this podcast and you can start implementing the information straight away. There's nothing stopping you. So let's go through the six stages of the delegation. Firstly, decide what. What is it that I'm going to be delegating? Okay. Again, when you are deciding on what tasks to delegate, it's really important that you only delegate tasks to employees that you as a manager do not solely need to be responsible for. And that may be different in any organization. It's no good when delegating that you delegating tasks to employees because you just don't like doing that task, or because you're intimidated by that task, even though it's a responsibility that's no good. And I always say, and my other trainers always say in our sessions, if somebody from upper management came to you and asked you why you delegated that particular task to that particular person, if you can justify why you did that, fantastic. If you cannot justify, if you can't show them your thinking and your reasoning behind it, then I would question if that's a task that you should be delegating. Delegating the task, there's different types of tasks. There's reoccurring and routine tasks. Could be, for example, holding a regular weekly meeting to actually run that meeting. It could be regular report writing. It could be anything to do that happens on a regular basis, and you want to pass that responsibility onto the employee. Or we have occasional duties or tasks. So we could have something that needs to only occur three or four times. It could just be an event that needs to be run three or four times, and we might give them the opportunity to run that. Or it could just be random tasks. You might say, for example, we'll use report writing again because it's a simple one. Okay, I've been asked to submit a report nationally to the other managers and to do on sales, etc. And you would like to give that opportunity to the employee to bring about that report and to decide on the best way to communicate that information. Again, keeping in mind the five levels of delegation. So the next part is to decide who. Who is the best person for this particular task that I would like to delegate? Firstly, ask yourself, skill sets, are they able to do this kind of job? And when we say able, we don't mean like they can learn. They may not have the ability right now, but they can learn. That's fine. That's the point of it. But do they actually have the ability? You know, it could be to do with a skill set. Do they actually exhibit the innate ability to be able to do this particular task? And again, this is something that you would need to know. And if you're a good manager, then you know your employees. You know what their capabilities are, what their limitations are. So are they able to, and secondly, are they willing to do it? How motivated are they to want to conduct this type of task? Does it fit in with their bigger picture vision of how they'll be operating within the company? Does it match their goals? So you're looking at, when you're deciding who you're looking at, are they able, are they willing to do it? Secondly, does it match their work style? Okay. We're going to be doing a lot in future podcasts. We're also going to be looking at behavior styles. One particular behavior style that we teach a lot in our workshops is DISC, D-I-S-C. And I won't get into it right now, but DISC is about observable behavior. There are some behaviors that are very analytical and very task focused, and they like to work quickly. And then there are other types of behaviors that are very people focused, and they may like to take their time and build relationships. So is this particular task going to fit in well with their behavior stuff? So that's important to ask yourself. And then finally, when decided, who can they actually handle the workload? How busy are they currently right now? If you're in an accounting firm and it's end of month, is it advisable to be handing on extra work to staff members? So essentially, you're deciding who. Thirdly, once you've made that decision, you need to be able to explain how you want the employee to perform this particular task or duty or routine. And again, you need to take into account, and that's why I went through before, the five stages of delegation. So a clear explanation on how the task is to be conducted and what the step-by-step formula might look like and what that might be. And then the next section which is part number four, is to actually delegate autonomy. As I said, you've already kind of determined with the five stages of delegation before, but now you're actually going to delegate it. So you're going to agree to the levels of autonomy. You're going to get buy-in. And you, at the same time, you're going to offer any kind of support or any kind of advice. I would never say to you as a manager, even if you are giving them full realm to perform a task, that you're unavailable and they mustn't ask you any questions. That's not the case at all. Your door must always be open as a strong leader. And if they run into any unforeseen roadblocks or anything like that, then they should be able to approach you and you should be available to help them. It's in the best interests of both of you. It's in the best interests of the organization. So offer your support and advice and agree to goals. What are some of the achievements, and agree to milestones? So what are the milestones on the way to achieving the goals? So all this should be agreed upon before any physical action is taken. And then number five of the six stages of delegation is to monitor milestones. So you're communicating the way that you're going to be monitoring the milestones, how the employee is going to communicate to you their current progress. Is it going to be through regular emails? Is it going to be through regular phone conversation? Is there some kind of a report? Is there some kind of a digital formula? It doesn't matter what system you use. What is important, though, is that you have some kind of a system to monitor milestones. And then finally, stage six of the delegation formula is to review and to progress. So you'll be conducting a review meeting and determining process. And this could occur at an agreed point of time through monitoring milestones. This could be done perhaps at the end of the task. If it's a report writing task before it's submitted, you'll review it, you'll review the progress, you'll have a look at it, and then you'll have a conversation and you'll decide on the best way to go. So essentially the six stages of delegation is to decide what, to decide who, to explain how, to delegate autonomy, to monitor milestones, and then to review and progress. You've done your homework. You've gone through your delegation plan. You've decided upon your six stages of delegation and you want to have this conversation with the employee. What I would like to do, and again, we give this in our workshops and we do role play this because this is extremely important, is to actually give you a few steps to engage your team member for delegation. So this is to actually start to initiate the process of wanting to delegate work to that team member. So firstly, what you want to do is you want to mention to the individual that you'd like their help on something. So simply ask for it. Ask if they're interested. Say, look, Jennifer, I have a task that I run on a regular basis. It is submitting a report to the executive team on sales, et cetera, whatever that might be. I'd like your help. Are you interested? Then mention to them that you have selected them because they're well suited to the particular task and say, look, Jennifer, I'm asking you to help me with this report because the nature of your work and your accuracy and your creativity, I feel would be well suited to this particular task. And that's why I've asked you. If they say, yeah, look, I'd be interested. Then you can briefly explain the task. So you could say to them, look, I run a regular report. Basically the report entails to put in this particular thing and these particular numbers and some feedback from the marketing department, the sales team, et cetera. This is what it entails. It's a little bit detailed, but I have quite a set formula that I can show you. Do you feel comfortable? So ask them if they feel comfortable. You want them to have buy-in. You want to give them a bit more information. And then when you ask them if they feel comfortable, you want them to say, yeah, look, I feel comfortable. If they say they are not feeling comfortable, it doesn't necessarily have to be the end of this. You could use a little bit of communication and management skill and potentially helpful influence and persuasion here. And you can, instead of saying, okay, fair enough, you can say, look, why or why not? And use open-ended questions. What is it that you feel uncomfortable about particularly? And they might say to you, well, I just haven't written a report before. I don't know if I would have the skills to be able to put the report together, or I don't have the contacts. And just find out what it is that's challenged for them. And if you can help them, you might say to them, for example, okay, you feel that you don't have the contacts and you don't have the skill. If I could help you put it together and if I could give you the contacts, would you then be interested in conducting the report? And surprise, surprise, they might actually turn around and say, yes, that'd be fine. I'd be happy to do that. So answer their objections. If they still wanted to go ahead, explain the task and the steps in greater detail, and then clarify the goals and objections. And again, when you sit down and you have that meeting with them, you will be going through the 6 stages of delegation. As I mentioned, management is about utilizing a whole range of different tools and different skills. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I really do hope you get out there delegating. It's going to change your life as a manager. It's going to increase performance. It's going to enhance organizational capabilities. It's going to do wonders for your career.
Thank you for listening today. Your host was Colin Dubb. The content shared is a small example of what we cover in our management courses. Aptitude Management offers both in-person and online courses for individuals or organizations who need team training. Furthermore, all Aptitude courses are conducted through our program framework consisting of workshop booking consultation, trainer-led skills gap analysis, tailored participant training plan, and post-workshop coaching. If you are interested in finding out more, please visit the Aptitude Management website at www.aptitudemanagement.com.au. Stay tuned for our next episode.